From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 27th day of February, 2013. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Jackie Vakes. It's Stuart Peterson right here in Champaign County. Take a look at the cash grain market with the folks at the Anderson Climbers Facility out of Logansport, Indiana. Hear about the agricultural weather with Drew Lerner from World Weather in Kansas City. And take up GRIP HR and 2012 payments with Gary Schnitt. The county yields are out, and we'll go through them today on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana, Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities focuses on managing risk in today's complex and sophisticated commodities market. 866-837-9027.
Well, let's check the numbers as they settled up in Chicago for a Wednesday afternoon. Futures finished like this. The nearby March wheat at 2.25 lower, 703.5. The settlement price July at 714.5, up a half. The midterm there at May at 712, up a penny for the day. The July hard red in Kansas City, 0.75 cents higher for the afternoon at $7.49. This one was a settlement price. Back in Chicago, on closes for the corn pit now. March futures there, 709.5, up 4.5 cents. The May at 696. And a quarter, a penny and a half higher, and July corn at $6.78, down one. September futures were down 2.75. It's $5.76.5. December at $5.53.5. Your harvest month, 2.75 lower for the day, and the March contract at $5.63.25, down 3.5 cents. Soybeans on the afternoon, March contract $14.58.5, up 10.75. May at $14.42, up 10.25, and July soybeans $14.27. 8.5 cents higher. August at $13.80 and a quarter, up 2.5 cents. In September, $13.08, 3/4 higher in the bean pit. New crop November soybeans, $12.56 and a quarter, down a penny and a half. January, $12.61 and 3/4, a half cent lower. Bean meal futures finished at $4.28.10, that's up 40 cents, and bean oil at $49.27, up 25 cents on the afternoon. Live cattle futures, April contract $129.87 and a half, a settlement price up 57 and a half. April feeders at $144.37 and a half, up 35 cents, and lean hogs for the day in the May contract at $89.20 per 100 pounds, a settlement price down 30 cents. You're listening, of course, to the Closing Market Report. It comes to you from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. You can find us online at WILLAG.org. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures, April contract, $92.78.79 a barrel, up 16 cents. The RBOB gasoline or wholesale price at $286.50. That's 11.6 cents lower. Natural gas at $238, or rather ethanol at $238.08. That's just about unchanged from the day before. And the difference between the two is now 47.7 cents. That's a dime lower on the afternoon. The spread is narrower than it was yesterday. Natural gas at $3.43, that's 2.6 cents cent lower. And the heating oil or diesel fuel at $2.99, 4.1 cents lower for the day. Gold futures, $1,595.70 an ounce, down $19.80. And the U.S. dollar at 81.6 is up, or rather down, 0.27 on the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast looks like as it comes from the National Weather Service for the Urbana-Champaign area this afternoon. We should see an occasional snow shower, a high of 36 degrees on a west wind at 16 miles an hour, gusting all the way to 22. Tonight, snow showers will continue. It'll be cloudy, a low of 29, with a west-northwest wind at 14 miles an hour. Chance of precipitation this evening set at 60%. New snow, less than in half an inch is possible. And then tomorrow, 30% chance of snow showers, cloudy, a high of 36. Northwest winds at 13 to 16. Thursday night, a 30% chance of snow showers continues, a low of 26. And on Friday, a chance of flurries, cloudy, and a high of 35 degrees. Friday night, mostly cloudy and 22. Saturday, sunny and 30. Saturday night, partly cloudy, and a low of 16. More on the ag weather when we get to the bottom of the half hour. We'll talk with Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
It is a Wednesday afternoon, the 27th day of February. On the phone line from Stuart Peterson here in Champaign County is Jackie Vakes. Jackie, thanks so much for being with us this afternoon and for making the trip all the way to Belleville, Illinois, near St. Louis last night for what I thought was a really great Ag Outlook panel.
And it really was a great Ag Outlook. And for all of those down there, I just got to say, wheat, wheat, wheat.
Again, yeah, you get down to Washington County, and they remind us that, yeah, indeed, there they are the number one wheat-growing county in the state of Illinois, and so it does make a difference to them. Anything you learned in particular while you were there last night?
Well, I think when you look at the big picture, of course, there are a lot of cattle growers down there, too, and the talk about the aflatoxin corn, they were hit hardest probably in the whole state when it comes to loss of corn. But they're dealing with aflatoxin corn, and I think it's a bigger issue than what anybody's really giving it credit for. When I went to the USDA meeting, I asked them if they had any idea how much corn was in storage out there that was actually aflatoxin, and I'm talking about at elevators as well as on farms. And they have no idea, and they have no money to be able to do that. And I think that's something that's being overlooked by the trade, because we could get to a point, if you can't source good corn out of the north, and, you know, you had questionable corn, or out of the east where we had good corn, it's going to get to be a very difficult situation, because you have to blend aflatoxin corn whether you want to or not. And so that was the big topic. And, of course, the number one or number two questions were, where are prices going? We hear that everywhere we go, whether it's on cattle or hogs or it's on grains, you know. So I just thought it was a great meeting, and we had a great turnout.
And we have a whole bunch of meetings that are actually coming up. Our Ag Outlook all-day-long one is next Tuesday. That's over at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. I talked to John Bondurant this morning. He is scheduled to be here and planning to be here on Tuesday of next week. Looking forward to hearing from him. He has several things that he wants to make sure that we discuss that day. And one of the things I think you might find of interest is that John wants to take a population and not its growth, but its decline in some places, potentially including in China, the United States. Europe's already on a declining path. Ukraine's already on a declining path. And what he thinks that might mean. So it'll be a really good day. Jackie, we have, what, just 12, get this, just 12 of the 300, how many did we sell? 365, 370, maybe as many as 380. I don't quite recall, but just 12 tickets left. And we will sell those this afternoon. And if you don't have a ticket, you won't be able to get in. So if you want to come, you need to dial in at 217-333-7300. Go ahead and do that now or write it down. We have 12 tickets left for All Day Ag Outlook. It's over at the Beef House. It's a great program. It includes a continental breakfast in the morning, a Beef House meal at the noon hour, and we'll be there all day long. Starts next week on Tuesday, March the 5th. The number to call is 217-333-7300. I'm done with my commercial, Jackie.
Okay.
Well, somebody's got to do it. And,
it's
really funny. This is what I think year three or four that we will have put, about 400 folks over at the Beef House. And it amazes me each and every time that many people listen and want to come and see the analyst. And it's really all about you guys. They want to know what you have to say. And this year they'll want to know about crop insurance, and they'll want to know about, it's sequester, for instance, in Washington, D.C., even.
Well, yeah, the sequester. Well, today it appears that everybody's accepted the fact that it's inevitable, but we do see a little shifting going on. They're changing about how they're talking about changing how they're going to furlough the meat inspectors, especially because it would idle 8,400 meat plants for the next 2 weeks if they don't do it. So they're talking about one day a week. But the difficulty that exists from sequester is that this is required by Congress, and they say you must have a line-by-line cut, and that cut has to be 5 to 6%. Well, the reality is that because of where we are in the fiscal year, that now becomes 10 to 12%.
Of the remaining budget.
Because we're halfway through
the fiscal year.
That's exactly right. And so, these are things that are going to be very difficult. And at the same time that they are now scheduled to talk about that on Friday, They're going to be deep into the talks about March 27th, which is the date set for whether or not the government continues to operate. And so, you know, all of these things affect our market, whether we like it or not. Even Berlusconi and his antics over in Italy and getting back into power again, those types of things, they all have an impact on where our markets go. And so today was an interesting day. You know, it's going to be first notice day tomorrow. May now becomes a front month. I heard you talking about May. Tomorrow is the last day of the month. We now have the cheapest wheat, spring wheat, or soft red wheat, excuse me,
right,
in the world. And so that has brought about some short covering both in the corn and the bean market. The one thing I want our listeners to understand is short covering is just that. This is not new buying. And so until we see some new buying, we have no real confidence in the market going a lot higher at this point. We've got the USDA report coming next week. There are just so many things that are going on at this point that we have little to no control over.
What do you make of wheat and corn, lead month March at least, and I know they're both in expiration, but the two of those are about to go into expiration, two of those being equal in price?
Well, it does bring a different dynamic. I mean, it's certainly, you will have your pundits who are going to say, okay, a lot of your feedlots are going to switch over to wheat now, and whether that be true or not, I did nutrition consulting for 16 years. It's not as easy as they make it look, but it is still a reality. You will see some wheat fed at these prices. Normally, if they're within 50 cents of each other, they are definitely competitors. And you know, we definitely need some additional feed grains that are not overpriced when you look at where we are as far as corn goes. It's just not going to be an easy situation, especially if we run into an issue where you can't blend aflatoxin corn because of the inability to get good corn.
Just for reference, March corn, by the way, at 709.5, and March wheat at 704.25. So they're very close in price. Hey, speaking of the month of March, we have several reports. End of the month, we'll deal with later, probably. That'll be grain stocks and the acreage mm-hmm. report. That, and we'll talk more about that than you can shake a stick at later on. But we have a mid-month report on the 8th, too, that's coming out.
That's right. That's the USDA report, supply and demand. And you know, the expectations for that report are very little change in the U.S. numbers when it comes to corn and beans, maybe a little higher wheat number perhaps. At the world level, though, they're looking at higher corn and higher wheat numbers, primarily coming out of Europe, former Soviet Union, India, and, you know, but not beans. And beans are an interesting situation here in the U.S. You know, we only have 16 days beyond September 1st as far as ending stocks go in the U.S., but, you know, the reality is we have 82% of our intended or expected exports already inspected and gone. 1.1 billion bushels out of 1.345. And
what's the percentage again?
82%.
82%, and we have to get from now until September
1st.
1st?
No, August 31st, yes.
Yeah.
That doesn't
yeah.
sound real realistic now,
yeah.
does it?
That's
the reality
a long
is,
haul between here and there, that's for sure.
Yeah, we better be figuring out where we're gonna produce beans from some other place than in the field, because this is a really strong situation. And so, you know, the expectation, I believe, is that we will see the USDA bump us, you know, somewhat on exports, but how far can we bump? We're not gonna see carryout. I don't believe in my lifetime see the USDA ever take carryout to zero. It wouldn't make any sense for us, because we do not want to be looked on as unreliable exporters.
Well, wouldn't this be the time of the year that we begin to start maybe another month and a half out, April, May, June, July, that they would move from North America to South America to source soybeans?
Well, you know, that certainly is the train of thought that most people use. Everything depends upon how competitive they are. Right now you hear horror stories of them being 20, 30, 40 ships behind on loading. And so, you know, countries still will come to places like us if they know they can get it. That's just it. And so, you know, with only 245 million bushels still remaining to be sold to reach the USDA expectation, you would figure that they would probably raise that number. But they're caught between a rock and a hard place, because our carryout already is very low. And so it's going to be interesting. The only thing that tells me is that old crop bean price is probably going to have to do some work to try and stymie exports. You know, and that means we most likely will have to go higher than where we are right now.
Hey, this just in, Tracy tells me there are now 10 tickets left for All the Hag Outlook. Cool. So from the time we talked about it to the time they came down, we've sold another two. 217-333-7300 for your ticket, too. Okay, so a couple of other things. Brazil, actually, along with producing soybeans, has become or is becoming a pretty good producer of corn. Mm-hmm. And you've got some break-even prices for moving corn around from north to south there. It's a really big country, by the way.
It is. Until you go there, we were there in 2006, you don't recognize that it's as large as the entire United States. And they, too, are just like we were this year. They have all the corn in the wrong place compared to where it's used. And so most of the corn is in Mato Grosso in the north, and it's needed down in the south. Now, break-even corn costs, as of today, $6.90 a bushel. I know, pick yourself up off the ground, $6.90 a bushel. And the cost to ship a bushel of corn from the north to south today is $3.50 a bushel. And I talked with Dr. Cornier about this, and he's the one that gave me the stats. He said, you know, if you can store your grain and you can wait until the soybean harvest slows down, you might be able to save yourself $1.50 a bushel, but you're still looking at about $2 a bushel to be able to move the grain. And so the Brazilian government for years now has been subsidizing it by buying corn in the north at the full market price, shipping it to the south, and then selling it at auction. Lose, lose, lose. They've been losing every single year, so now they're talking about stopping or reducing that program. And so a lot of things are going on down there, but just can you imagine if it would cost you $3.50 a bushel to move a bushel of corn here in the United States? And it's no different for beans in that respect. So it's just a very competitive and compelling situation. They're actually building an ethanol plant in Mato Grosso to try and use up some of the corn. 800,000 hectares last year went from pasture land into corn and bean land. So can you imagine? Is that any big surprise that we're now going to have a record crop?
Mm-hmm. Hey, Jackie, thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome. Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Jackie Vakes is with Stuart Peterson. She's from right here in Champaign County. Joined us on this Wednesday afternoon edition of the Closing Market Report.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit of Illinois, offering financial products and services specifically for the agriculture industry, including farm real estate and operating loans, crop insurance, and point-of-sale financing, as well as farm cash management solutions.
Well, the United States Department of Agriculture has released the county yields across the Midwest for corn, and that means that GRIP HR payments can be made. Gary Schnitke, farm management specialist, looked at the crop insurance policies and how the county yields will pay out across the state of Illinois. Gary, thank you so much for taking the time with us today. Can you take us through what USDA has released and why it was important that the county yields came out before, naturally, payments could be made?
Yep. NAS released its yield data. They'll be final after RMA looks over the data and makes whatever determination they need to be. But we have a very good idea of where GRIP HR payments are going to be this year.
So everything from this point forward is simply an estimation, and RMA still has some calculations to provide. But when you look across the state, what did you find?
There are going to be large payments for GRIP HR, and that's what you would expect in a drought year. I'm going to just give you some examples of some payments for the 90% coverage level, which is where most of the payments are made at, or where most of the insurance policies are bought at 100% protection level, and that's the highest that it can possibly be. But some counties have over $1,000 payments at that high protection level, and as you would expect, those are mainly in the southern part of the state. To give you an example, Marion County had a 19-bushel corn yield. Its payment at the highest protection level would be $1,189. So we're looking at some pretty large payments, particularly in the southern part of the state.
Some counties would maybe be, as I looked at the map, an underestimate of the number of counties that were at 1,000, maybe 800 and above. A lot of the counties in the state of Illinois would fall into that category.
Yep, there's a lot of counties at 800 and above. And just moving to central Illinois, McLean County will have an over $800 payment, so we'll Logan County, Logan's County payment will be over 900, and so will Menards County. Champaign County will have over a $700 payment.
Just a little further north into the southern part of the northern part of the state, once you get up into Livingston County, there are some real interesting things that happen. One county getting a fairly large payment, other counties not getting a very large payment. What happened there?
Well, Livingston County has over a $1,000 payment at the highest protection level. It had an 83 bushel yield, so it had a very low yield. Similarly, Ford County had a 63 bushel yield. It has a over $1,200 payment. Pretty close to it, those payments go down quite a bit. LaSalle County has a $400 payment, but it had 134 bushel yield. If you go one county over, Bureau County had 145 bushel yield, and it had a $288 payment.
And there are some places in the state that may have taken GRIP HR out as an insurance policy and didn't use it last year.
That's right. There's two counties in the western part of the state that we know of for sure. Mercer County had 180 bushel yield, zero payment. Henderson County had 162 bushel yield and a zero payment.
You and I have had some discussions in recent times about GRIP HR versus the RP policies and what that might mean for the 2013 growing season. You happen to like GRIP HR as a policy. I believe you like the RP as well. Both are good products in your opinion. But GRIP HR is a product that has fallen out of use. Would farmers be well-intentioned to take a look at GRIP HR this year?
Yeah, you can see from it, GRIP makes pretty large payments in drought years, and we've known that for a long time that would happen, and it did happen. It also, so it does provide good protection in drought years. It also does a pretty good job in years in which prices decline. And again, part of the reason for that is because it has a 90% coverage level at the top end versus an 85%. And so that's a 5% difference, or about 30 cents in price terms for corn. So if we're looking at it, or if we're concerned about price declines, GRIP HR will provide some more protection than RP.
It would be important, I suppose, for producers considering GRIP HR that they do take the highest protection level, which is 90%. Do they need to take the 100% coverage level as well?
100% protection level is the maximum. And no, it's not as critical that they take the 100% protection level. As you lower the protection level, you lower the payment when it occurs, and you also lower the premium. So it comes down to a choice of premium versus payment. The other thing you need to keep in mind if you take GRIP is that there's no preventive planting or replant provision, so you have to plant the crop to get the coverage, and you won't get paid till March or April of the year following the crop.
Thank you so much, Gary.
You're welcome.
Gary Schnimke, Farm Management Specialist at the University of Illinois. You can find his writings online at farmdocdaily.illinois.edu.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Auditory Care Center, an independent hearing care center serving Champaign, Piatt, Ford, Vermilion, and other East Central Illinois counties. Auditory Care Center offers hearing evaluations as well as selection, fitting, and repair of hearing aids at 892-5959 in Rantoul.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Wednesday afternoon. Just a quick reminder, if you want tickets to our All-Day Ag Outlook, there are just 10 of them left, or were a couple of moments ago. Dial in at 217-333-7300. After the end of the day, today, we will sell no more tickets, and you'll need one to make the entrance next Tuesday. Well, let's check the cash grain market now. The folks at the Anderson's Climbers facility in Logansport, Indiana, are on the phone line. Stephen Linneber is with us. Thanks, Stephen, for taking the time with us today. We do appreciate that. Let's start out with something fairly simple for you. What are your bids on the afternoon?
Nearby corn, we would be at 741 cash. Nearby beans, 1452.
And your expectations for basis and its movement over the next week or so?
Oh, I mean, especially on the corn side, we're seeing some strength here. We've on the nearby side of corn, we've already increased our basis by 4 cents trying to really maximize profit potential for these farmers to have some incentive here to get corn into us for the month of March.
Was that enough to make any corn move, or
we? Certainly was. I think we've got some guys with their eyes open, especially now. We watch the nearby our May corn, trade a little higher at the close here today. That with some strength in the basis, I really think the opportunity is there. It's now becoming a time where we need to pull the trigger.
There have been some that are concerned. The ethanol plants have been working on losing margins for quite some time. I don't think that's the case there at Logansport, but you can tell me.
Oh, I mean, it's. I mean, margins for us. I mean, if anything, maybe a penny down at the best. But we certainly that as well as blend margins stand relatively solid, and I expect that to maintain that that strength here through at least this week. I mean, not so much a concern for us that way.
Stephen, thank you so much.
Hey, no problem.
Stephen Linneber is with the Anderson's Climbers facility. He's in Logansport, Indiana. Joins us on this Wednesday afternoon edition of the Closing Market Report.
Support for today's broadcast comes from ADM, now providing a new mobile site, FarmerView, for up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids. Available at adm.com/FarmerView.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It's a Wednesday afternoon. Drew Lerner with World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City on the line to tell us about the weather forecast and what it looks like for our part of the world, the Midwest, the nation, and the planet. Let's start right here in the Illinois, Indiana area. We have had quite a bit of rain over the last several days, and it looks like there might be some related rainfall that would be coming in again as these storms just keep coming up out of the west.
Well, it does look as though we will be seeing some more wet weather, but we're actually going to take a break. After about 2 days here, we're going to have some snow showers are going to be fairly common across the Midwest. And as we go forward through this period, we'll probably see some light accumulations taking place in quite a few areas. The Great Lakes region will be by far most favored, but we'll probably see a little bit of snow accumulating in other locations. But we're talking about a dusting to a couple of inches for the most part. There'll be a few areas in the Great Lakes region that we'll see more than just a couple of inches, maybe several inches will accumulate over the next 2 days. But after the system passes, we'll go through a period of calmer weather, and we'll only have some minor weather disturbances passing across the Midwest. They will still bring a little bit of light precipitation periodically, but nothing like the large-scale storms that we've seen this week, this past week. And we will be waiting for about 10 days, and then I think we'll see the pattern shift again. We'll go back to a more active one, and that's when you'll see that rain and snow occurring more frequently across the Midwest once again.
And then if you look to other parts of the world, what do you see for growing regions, for instance, in South America?
Well, I think probably the big interest right now in South America is whether or not we're going to have so much rain in Brazil that we're going to have delays in harvesting. Well, so far we've had quite a bit of moisture, and yet the harvest pace continues to be reported as being ahead of schedule. And with the exception of a couple of states, Sao Paulo and Goiás have been lagging behind the normal pace for a little bit. But nothing too dramatic going on. And if we're looking for support for our commodity prices here in this country, it's not going to come from Brazil. I'm just about sure of that. The weather over the next 10 days to 2 weeks will be perfectly mixed with rain and sunshine, and the late crop will continue developing in a very favorable manner. And while the crop is being harvested, it should be able to advance around the showers. In Argentina, you know, we're still trying to recover from the dry period that occurred in January and early February, and some of the country got dry enough. Of course, we lost some pretty significant yields in some of the early corn crop and a few other crops. The weather pattern has been trying desperately to shift back into a more normal weather mode, and I think we're probably seeing that happen in many areas, but the southwest corner of Argentina's crop country is still quite dry. They have a chance for rain Friday night and Saturday coming up. It'll be an opportunity to fix a little bit of that moisture deficit issue, but they need more rain than this, and there's not a lot in the pipeline. So a small portion of Argentina will continue struggling for moisture while the rest of the country sees improvement.
And a very quick note on China as they get ready to move into their 2013 growing season.
Everything looks just fine at the moment. There's plenty of moisture around in all of the major agricultural areas. The winter wheat and rapeseed crops went into the ground, established well, and have had some very well-timed precipitation this winter. the temperatures need to warm up. That's all that they need, though. Once it gets warm enough, the crops will take off without a hitch, and they'll probably continue developing favorably for a while.
Drew, thank you so much.
Thank you. Have a great day.
Hey, you too. Drew Lerner is with World Weather Incorporated. Joined us on a Wednesday afternoon on the Closing Market Report. Thanks for being along. I'm Todd Gleason. You have a great day.